we present Taxi, a week-by-week account of the trials and tribulations of a New York taxi driver.
You know, guys and broads, being a cabbie ain't so bad when it comes to weigh it all up. I mean, it's like you can please yourself if you wants to go to work or stay in bed when the weather ain't so good. After all, if you don't go to work, that's your own Magilla. Somebody else takes your place down on the rank, and life goes on regardless. Nah, by and large, I is very happy with my lot. I is quite content to go on living the way I is, if you can call this life living. But Kowalski, oh no. Every now and so often, he has to break out in his own little revolution, his own personal onslaught against the establishment. Like the time he was down on the rank one morning, I was trying to select a few choice Gigi's for the weekend, and maybe make myself a few dollars. But Kowalski was determined to bend my ears like only the genius can.
It's the trouble with you, Shorty Edwards. You ain't got no ambition.
Uh-huh.
Your soul does not yearn and throb and pulsate with an ambition to give the world something better than you was wasting your time with already.
That could be.
There you are. You agree with me. You was content to be a cabbie all your life while the old world goes by around you.
Maybe at that.
You was letting all your chances pass you by. You was stagnating.
Stagnation? Yeah, that'll probably show in the 330.
What is you going to be when you're too old to work, huh? Tell me that. How is you going to support Moidle in a manner to which he ain't accustomed when you has trouble supporting yourself?
Sporting self. Hey, that sends a good chance for the 4 o'clock.
So what is you going to do about it, Edwards?
Huh?
What is you going to do about it?
Do about what?
There you are. You see, you ain't been listening to a word I's been saying.
I has to. You've been helping me with a couple of nights for the weekend meeting. Why, you gave me two, stagnation and sport himself. A couple of real tryers.
Chuck Edwards, is there nothing better in your life than finding Gigi's for weekend meetings?
Oh, yeah, sure.
What?
Finding nights for the midweek meetings.
You may laugh and you may chat, but you was going to be sorry when you has to go on social relief.
Social relief? What are you talking about?
I is deliberating on the fact that you has no ambition. You was going to end up in the poorhouse.
Oh, is that so?
That is so.
Uh-huh. And what brought all this on all of a sudden, huh?
Well, I has come to a decision.
Uh-oh. Here we go again.
I has decided to dispense with my present occupation. There is no future in driving a cab.
Okay, okay, meathead. What's it going to be this time? Say, how about being a novelist, huh? Or a poet? Or a pop singer? Or a motion picture star? I could go on for hours. I name it, you tried it.
If you was not going to take my observation seriously, I is not going to waste my valuable time explaining.
Okay, okay, Red. I has given you my undivided attention. You may now proceed.
Well, yeah? I is fed up with having no security. I's been studying this problem with a great deal of perseverance cast with me, and I's decided to alter things for the better.
Oh, you has?
Yeah, I's going into private service.
Yeah, you is what?
I is going to work for the gentry. Huh? No more is I gonna hack dumb fares around New York. I's gonna work for one boss, someone who appreciates my undeniable talents.
Hey, would you put that in plain English?
I'll do better than that. I'll put it in simple American. Look, I'll show you this newspaper.
Uh-huh.
Now, look at this.
Wanted. Chauffeur, handyman, must be conversant with New York City, a good, reliable driver. One not scared to take a chance in emergencies for elderly, affluent, retired couple. Salary exceptionally good to the right applicant. Wright given full details to Box 1223, New York Star.
Yeah, there's one word I ain't sure of. What's affluent?
Ah, that means they got bread. Moolah, dough. So what's this all about?
I has replied to the ad, and I is waiting for a reply.
You means you is gonna wait permanent for some guy?
If my application is acceptable...
Oh, boy. Now I've heard everything.
Calling Cap 18, calling Cap 18. Come and check, honey.
Oh, hi, Michael Sugar. Hey, what's for you this bright morning?
Oh, nothing special. I just want to tell you what a swell time you gave me last night.
Ah, think nothing of it, honey.
Oh, Chuck, how can you say that? Why are you so generous?
Well, I just have my moments.
The dinner was real cool, and the wine was out of this wild.
Yeah, I think it was brewed on Venus. I said it was real nice vino.
Oh, and the liqueurs. They were something else. It sure was a swell evening.
Like I said, nothing's too good for my sweetie pie. Expense is no object where you was concerned.
Oh, yeah, that's why I called you, really. When will you give me back the $20 I lent you last night?
The last of the big spenders.
Shut up, you.
right.
No, 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 honey, no, no. I was talking to Peanut Brain here. He's on one of his kicks.
Oh, yeah. What's it this time, babysitting?
Don't mention that. That's what he ain't tried yet. Okay, now go ahead. Go on. Tell yourself.
Well, Mike, I's hoping to go into private service.
Kowalski's a private eye yet. But you couldn't detect a flat tire.
Nah, honey. He means working permanent. A chauffeur yet.
Five'll get you ten. He don't last one day.
Okay, you two. Don't expect no sympathy from me when you is destitute. I will look the other way.
How about that guy, Sombrots? The genius figures he will go into private service. I gotta confess, that's one thing I never thought of. Ha! Trust Kowalski to find some crazy scheme. You know, I thought we'd been through the whole cabezas. There couldn't be nothing else left for him to do. But no, here he comes up with some scheme which will no doubt get me into another nice mess. Anyways, we finish his wake for that day. We gets back to the apartment, which we laughingly calls home.
Gee, Chuck, the mail's been.
Huh?
Look, here's a letter.
Oh, yeah. So, who's it for, huh?
It's for some guy called Mr. Christian.
Oh.
Ain't nobody hear that name?
Hey, wait a minute. How did you sign the letter you sent for that job?
Well, I said, hoping this finds you as it leaves me. Yours very sincerely. Oh, yeah, must be for me.
Oh, boy. Okay, go on, open it.
I can't. They might say they don't want me.
How will you know if you don't open it?
Maybe they recognize too young for the job, huh?
Yeah, young? You gotta be kidding. Go on, genius, open it.
Chuck, would you, as my longtime buddy, do me a great favor?
Sure, any time, Red. What do you want?
Would you open it?
Oh, boy. Okay, give it here. Dear Mr. Christian, as you did not sign your letter with your Christian name, one must assume that your surname is Christian.
What is he talking about?
Shut up, Willie. I'm reading. We have reviewed your application in a favorable light and would be gratified if you would kindly telephone the above number in order to arrange an immediate interview. I remain yours faithfully, Agatha Rochester Smythe.
They don't want me, huh?
Listen, lame brain, it's a good thing you has me as translator, huh? They want you to phone this number to fix up to go and see them.
They do?
Yeah, they do. Well, go on, get phoning.
Okay. What do I say?
Yeah, what do you say? For Pete's sake, play it off the cuff.
Okay, play it off the cuff.
Hello?
This is me. I doesn't wear cuffs on my pants, only on my shirts.
What?
Oh, if you would prefer cuffs on my pants, I can always arrange it, although it is old-fashioned. This is the golden voice of Red Kowalski at your private service.
Are you some nut or something? What do you want?
Well, it depends what you got.
Get on with it, Jake. Tell her about the letter.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Are you speaking in reference to your letter at the moment in hand?
What letter?
The one you sent me. The one about me working for you.
Oh, you mean you're applying for the position of chauffeur handyman?
Yeah, you got it, sister.
Not sister, ma'am.
Yeah, ma'am, you got it, sister.
What's your name?
Red.
No, Christian.
It's really Christian, but you can call me Red.
Oh, Christian, yes, of course, I remember. Very well, will you call here tomorrow at 9 o'clock, and I'll assess your capabilities. Kindly attend with your references, is that clear?
Yeah, you want me to attend to my capabilities by 9 tomorrow for your reference.
Very well, good night.
So long, sister, ma'am. Hey, Chuck, you gotta help me. She wants references. I ain't got none of them things. What do I do?
Easy, Red, old buddy. Ha ha, me and Michael, we write some for you.
Gee, that's great. Thanks, Chuck.
So, guys and broads, Meathead Kowalski turns up the following morning, complete with references from Charles Edwards Esquire and Miss Michael Smedley. It was quite a snazzy place. The old lady seemed to have a lot of bread. Like I always says, it don't matter if you was born poor and dies poor, as long as you was rich in between. Anyways, Kowalski pitches up and rings the bell.
Yes? I's Red Kowalski.
Yes?
Yeah.
Well?
Very well, thank you. You okay?
You're fine, thank you. What do you want?
I has come to work here. Is you the butler?
Yes, you better come in. Now, you wait here. I'll inform Madam you're here. Aggie, there's some jerk said he's going to work here.
Oh, that'll be the dope who answered the ad. Get him in here. And don't let on you're my husband. You're supposed to be the butler. Don't forget.
Okay. Man, I'll see you now. This way.
Oh, good morning. Show me your references.
Sure, yeah, here you are.
To whom it may interest, I have known Red for longer than I cares to mention. And all the years I have known him, he's been honest, trustworthy, diligent, and a first-class pain in the neck. Signed, Chuck Edwards. And the other? To whom it may concern, I have had to put up with Genius Kowalski for longer than I cares to mention. Throughout that time, I've always found him willing, kind to animals, a very good Joe, and a jerk of the first order. Signed, Myrtle Smedley, spinster.
How about that? It's okay, huh?
Well, yes. It seems to be all right. How do you think, Rupert? Rupert!
Oh, sorry, madam. Quite all right.
Gee, Rupert, yes.
So far, so good. And now, as regards your driving ability...
I have been a cabbie in New York.
For how long?
Strictly speaking, under the circumstances, taking a broad view of the whole Cabezas, give or take a little here and there, a very long time.
Good. I'll take a chance on you. You may start right away. $40 a week, live in, Sundays off, no drinking, no smoking. Rupert here will enumerate your duties. You may go. Wait outside.
Gee, thanks.
He's just the sucker we need.
Oh, Aggie, honey, you couldn't have done better. You'd have to go a long way to find a stupider jerk than him.
Now we're all set. We've got the bank all set. We've got the car. We've got the driver. All we need to do now is set the date. Go and tell the jerk his duties.
Okay, Aggie. Say, couldn't you have found a better name than Rupert? Right, Christian. Now listen carefully. First of all, you always address me as Mr. Rupert, understand? You report to me each morning with the car cleaned and polished.
In the morning?
You have 15 minutes for breakfast, after which you will clean all the silver.
Silver.
Having done that, you will then proceed to polish the floors, dust the furniture, clean the windows.
Dust the windows, dust the floors.
You will then hold yourself in readiness to take Madam and myself to the bank. While we're in the bank, you may take 10 minutes for lunch.
Polish the bank and clean the lunch.
Yeah, you will then drive us back here and then proceed to weed the garden and water the plants.
Water the bank and weed the furniture, clean the plants. Hey, Mr. Rupert, will you tell me something?
Yeah?
When does I get time to breathe?
So, guys and broads, that was Kowalski's introduction to domestic service. I gotta tell you, the first few days was like a dream to me. On account of he was living in, you see. I never had him breathing down my neck. It was great not having to listen to his yak. But after a while, I began to miss the jerk. Okay, so he's living on cloud 7 most of the time, and he can drive you out of your skull in 30 seconds flat. Ah, but he's a great guy. It's kind of hard not having him around, you know. Me and Myrtle was talking about it in her apartment the following Saturday night.
Gee, Chuck, things don't seem the same, does they?
Ah, no, honey. I gotta admit, I miss his that big stiff. There ain't no one to yak with down on the rank.
We ain't got no one to be rude to.
No one to have a beer with.
I used to enjoy insulting him.
Yeah, him and his crazy schemes.
Remember the time he drove to Staten Island Ferry?
Yeah. Hey, how about that time he appeared on the stage? Oh, boy, that was a gas.
And do you remember the time he had that fancy new cab?
Yeah, and the automatic doors got stuck.
Yeah, and the president of the women's lib was locked in the back for 2 days.
Yeah. Oh, boy. I sure do miss them days. Hey, I wonder what he's doing now, the stupid great jerk.
Why don't we give him a ring on the phone?
Yeah, it's a great idea, honey. Gee, it'll be swell to hear his voice again. Yeah, I got the number here somewhere. Oh, yeah, here we are. Here we are. Oh, hi there, Red. How's it going, pal?
Gee, Chuck, it's great to hear you again.
So how's tricks, huh?
Okay, I guess, yeah.
How's the new job going?
To tell you the truth, I've been so busy, I ain't got no time to think about it, you know, whether it's good or bad.
Yeah? So what do you have to do all day, then?
Well, apart from cleaning the house, cleaning the car, waiting on the
Gee, sounds tough, pal. Hey, you want to talk to Myrtle?
Yeah, thanks.
Here you are, honey.
Oh, yeah. Hello, Red. How are you?
Hello, Myrtle. I'm fine. Fine.
Well, you don't sound it. What's the matter?
No, nothing.
Oh, come on, Red. Just talking to your pals. What's the matter?
Well, this job is okay, but it's kind of lonely, you know? Ain't no one to talk to.
What you mean is just missing us.
Yeah, that's about it, Mike.
Yeah, and we're both missing you. When's we going to see you again?
Look, every day at 12 o'clock, I drive him to the Manhattan National Bank. We wait there 10 minutes, then we comes back. How about you and Chuck meeting up with me there on Monday?
Sure thing, Red. We'll be there. It'll be great to see you again.
Yeah. Likewise, Boydell. Okay, see you Monday.
Yeah, okay. So long, Red, and take care of yourself, huh?
Yeah. So long.
You don't sound so good. Like he's missing us, too.
Gee, poor old Red.
Anyways, we're meeting him Monday, 12 o'clock, by the Manhattan National Bank.
How about that, huh? Poor old Red has got himself somewhat in a little private shtook of his own. Ah, you couldn't help feeling sorry for the guy. After all, he didn't ask us to sympathize with him, which at the time did seem just that little bit unlike the genius. Anyways, come Sunday, which is Kowalski's day off, Myrtle and me pays a call on her mother. Yeah. While Kowalski is so bushed from all his domestic duties, he is flaked out on the bed. Now then, downstairs, Mrs. Barchester Smythe and the so-called butler Rupert is having what you might call a very interesting yak.
Can't hear us, can he?
No, I sneaked into his room. He's flat out.
Good. All right, then. I've worked everything out. Tomorrow is the day.
Oh, boy, am I glad of that. I'm fed up with this butler gag.
It's a good thing somebody's got brains in this setup. Otherwise, you'd still be peddling dud checks.
All right. At least I kept us off the streets.
Only just. Now, listen. At precisely 12 noon, the cashier from Stasis will walk around the corner and go into the bank. Only tomorrow he won't go into the bank. I will stop him. He'll be carrying the previous day's takings for deposit. Only this time he'll deposit the money right in our laps.
What do I do?
You just stand by the car with the door open so I can get in fast.
Yeah, and Christian?
He'll do as he always does. Drive us right back here, where we change cars and send Christian back into town to be chased by the police.
Perfect, Aggie, my dear. I couldn't have worked it out better myself.
You've got to be joking. Now, we can't afford any mistakes. A Saturday's takings at Stasis must be at least $20,000. So, we'll go over the whole caper again.
Well, guys and guyesses, after having spent a very lousy Sunday with Myrtle's mother... Hey, you know, one of these days, I is gonna tell that old bag what I really thinks of her. No, maybe I better not. On account of I is not very partial to the inside of a jail. Anyways, as I said, after Sunday comes Monday. And after a few fares, I gets on the blow at the Myrtle to remind her we has to meet Kowalski at 12 o'clock at the Manhattan National Bank. She says okay, she ain't forgot, and says for me to pick her up at the office, which I does.
Hey, Chuck, honey. It's right on time for a change.
Hello there, sugar. Leave us not dabble in pleasantries, huh? We is gonna see the genius today in person.
Yeah. Gee, I wonder how he's looking.
I don't know, the same as usual. 6'6" of derelict human flesh with a knucklehead at the top.
Oh, now, Chuck, now don't be unkind. It's your buddy.
Well, you knows what I mean. It'll be great to see him again.
Yeah.
Come on, sugar, hop in.
Okay, driver. The Manhattan National Bank, please.
Sure thing. Right away, ma'am.
Gee, I hope he's been eating regular.
Well, of course he has. He's what they calls living in.
Living in?
Yeah, that means he's getting 3 meals a day regular.
Yeah? No, I don't know.
Listen, if I know Kowalski, nothing but nothing will interfere with his gastronomic intake.
Yeah?
I said Kowalski will never starve.
Oh, yeah. All the same, I was worried for him. He didn't sound so good on the phone.
Ah, don't worry, sugar. You knows, Red. One day up, another day up further. You'll be okay.
Yeah, watch it. We're nearly there. Oh, there you are. You can park over there. Yeah,
okay, honey. Hey, look, there he is.
Hi, Red. How you doing, pal?
Gee, Chuck.
Gee, Red.
Chuck.
Red.
I see you too, you know.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Hello, Mike.
Hi, Red. Hey, you ain't looking too good. What's the matter? Ain't they feeding
treating you so well.
Yes, it's okay.
Gee, Red, it's good to see you.
Gee, Chuck, it's great to see you.
Yeah, when you two's finished embracing, maybe we can get down to a little intelligent conversation.
Gee, sorry, Mike. I ain't seen either of yous for at least a week. What exactly does you find funny?
That uniform. Who ever heard of a guy dressed in a mauve suit yet?
This is my livery.
Yeah? Makes me liverish to look at it.
All right. Go on, have your fun.
Well, whom have we here?
Mr. Rupert, this is my buddy, Chuck Edwards.
Yeah?
And this is Fiancee, a 17-year standard.
Yeah, don't remind me.
Miss Myrtle Smedley.
Well, how do you do, both?
Oh, charmed, I'm sure.
I'm sure you must both be in a great hurry. Just stop by to pass the time of day with your friend Christian. Well, goodbye. Nice to have met you.
We ain't in no hurry. We came here special to see Red, Christian.
Well, now you've seen him, you'll want to be on your way.
No, we ain't going no place. We came to see Red.
Yes, but now you've met him, you'd better be moving on.
Hey, now, wait a minute. Nobody tells me when I has to go.
Is that so? Well, this is one time when you run.
Huh?
Chuck, he's got a gun.
Now, look, mister, there ain't no call to lose your cool.
All right, you two. Get in the car.
Huh?
You heard me. Get in the car. In the back.
No.
And you, Christian, get behind the wheel.
Yeah, Mr. Rupert, sir.
If anyone of you so much as opens his mouth, it's curtains.
What's going on here?
Never you mind. Just shut your trap. You'll be okay.
Chuck, do something.
With a gun pointing at me, you got to be kidding.
Michael. Yeah, Chuck.
Shut up.
I don't think I can.
If you don't shut the story, damn it, I will.
Okay, mister. Hey, Michael, cool it, will you? We ain't stuck far enough without you gummed up the works.
All right, Aggie, it's okay. Now, watch it. Here he comes.
Okay, I'm ready.
Hey, what's going on?
I think this organized in some kind of bank robbery.
Oh, no, Kowalski. Here's another nice mate you got me into.
Okay, mister. Put up your hands. Hand over that bag. All right, now, get moving. Keep your hands up. Okay. Right. Let's get moving. Home, Christian.
Yes, ma'am.
And don't spare the horses. What are these two jerks doing here?
They're friends of Christian. I couldn't get rid of them, my dear. The only way was to bring him along.
Are you out of your mind? Now we've got witnesses. I can't leave you alone for a single minute. You'll foul the whole thing up.
I'm sorry, my love. They just happened along at the wrong time.
Not the right time, you mean. Well, only one thing for it. They'll have to go.
Very well, my dear. Christian, stop here. I'll let your friends out.
No, you fool. I mean, we shall have to kill them.
Oh, no. No, help!
I think I feel like crying, too.
You keep driving, Christian. Button your lip. Otherwise, my pea shooter's lava will connect to your peanut-sized brain.
Yes, ma'am.
Chuck, what we done it to?
I don't know, honey. We's in trouble. In spades, we is in trouble. Hey, you hear that, honey? Hey, the buzzer's around somewhere.
Yeah, you think they're after us?
Shut the traps, you two. As soon as we get home, we'll deal with you. So start saying your prayers. Ask Bob now.
Agatha, you hear that? I think they're after us.
You fool, you bungled the whole thing again.
Me? What did I do?
Christian, put your foot down. If you catch us up, you're a dead cookie.
I think I'm going to be dead either way.
Be quiet, you stupid woman. I can't tell which is you, which is the police.
Hey, you can't talk to my fiancée like that.
Keep going, Christian. They're gaining on us.
Hey, right left here, Red. Watch it, you fool. Look out, Red.
Oh.
It's a blind alley.
No, it's too late.
Is you all right, honey?
Yeah, I think so.
Red, is you okay?
Sorry, I can't stop. I has to polish the bank, clean the lunch, dust the car.
All's well that ends well. The fuzz was right behind us when we crashed. And they took Mr. and Mrs. Botcher to Smiderway for a long stretch. They was a couple of confidence tricksters from way back. I Red decided that Cappian was a whole lot better than being in private service. But there was one thing that was puzzling me. Like I said to Kowalski when we was back on the rank. Just tell me one thing, genius. How come the fuzz was so close behind us when you was switching away from the bank?
A lemon tree, my dear Edwards.
All right, big shot. You was just as scared as we was. Come on, give me it straight.
Well, every time I saw a patrol car, I just made rude signs to them. They was bound to catch up with us in the end.
You see what I mean, guys and broads? You can't win, can you? Well, it all goes to show, something or other, don't it? ¶¶
Dixie is written and produced by Joe Stewartson, directed by David Goodman. George Carellin plays Chuck Edwards, Red is Tony Jay, and Myrtle is played by Pat Saunders.